I got more. I got plenty more.
I don't want to take this.
They ate it. That's probably what you did. It's protein. Have you ever met a sick moth? No. A sick moth eating paper. They eat paper. All right. Okay. Here we go. Remember, this is Faith Building 101. In a couple of weeks, we're going to start a different one. I'm not sure if it's going to be called God's First Aid. I'm not sure. But we're going to spend something. We're going to talk about different emotional problems that we have and just some Band-Aids. Okay? You know what a Band-Aid is? A Band-Aid, if you come to me with a problem and you need to go to a trained psychologist, my job as a pastor is to stop the bleeding. That's what I do. I stop the bleeding. I stop the bleeding. And what happens is, if it's out of my capabilities, I send you to a professional psychologist or psychiatrist, but just stop the bleeding. And so we're going to talk. That might be the name of the series coming up, Stopping the Bleeding. That'll be cool, Stopping the Bleeding. I got to remember that. Stop the Bleeding, next Bible study. Pressure bandage. All right. Yes, ma'am. For counseling. I'll be a certified pastoral counselor. I'm already a certified pastoral counselor, but I've gotten certified through Christian organizations, not through worldwide organizations like ECU and State and all that. Now I'm going to the two top counseling schools are the ones I'm going to. And when I get through with these, and then I can go to another school and become a licensed family therapist. I got to put all kinds there. No, I'm just going to put there. I'm going to put there, let's see, T-O-G-S. Tired of going to school. Yeah. I did get my grades, though. So far in this class I'm in right now, I'm over halfway through. And so far it's like 14 100s and a 95. So that's good. That's really good, because coming up I'll be taking some. I got 30 more hours of psychology to take, and I'm really not looking forward to that one. Amen. All right. So here we go. Now the difference, and if you want to know a difference in you go to counselors, you can say, are you a Christian counselor? Here's the differences. There's three kinds. There's, when you say Christian counselor, there's three different ways. There's Christians who counsel. Usually the Christians who counsel may never talk about God. They may never talk about the scripture. They just use psychology and counseling programs, but they're Christians who use psychology. Then there are the Christian counselors who counsel through the Word of God, but do not use psychology. Okay. Then there is the pastoral counselor. The pastoral counselor integrates God and psychology, pulls them together. And so that's what I do. But I'm just going for more in depth. If I was going through the other way, I would be working on my doctorate now, but because I'm not going the other way, I'm not working on my doctorate. I'm working now, I'm going through SACS accreditation. So it's crazy. But God's got this. Praise God. God's got it. Theophostics come in. Actually, theophostics comes in pastoral counseling and in Christian counseling, because I do theophostics. I also do something called, I'm trying to think, I'm already doing a form of theophostics, but I'm doing it integrated with, theophostics by itself is not integrated with psychology, but there is, there is a form of theophostics that is integrated with psychology, and that's the one I do, the one that's integrated with psychology. And so, yeah, it's crazy. It's a whole lot. As a matter of fact, it'll make you crazy. It turns my head around because it's a constant thing. It never stops. And every time I get, here's how my classes operate. They end on Monday night at 11:55. One week is 7 week semesters. I get two classes per semester, one for 7 weeks and the second one for 7 weeks. And one ends at 11:55 on Monday night. The other one starts at 12 o'clock on Tuesday. There's 5 minutes in between. And when I'm changing courses, when I graduate from one course to the next, I stop at 11:55 on Monday night and start my next course 5 minutes later. That's when it does it. It's called. You ever heard of Moodle? Anybody ever used Moodle? You've used Moodle, haven't you? You know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm using Moodle, and well, but that's just it's something called cognitive behavioral therapy. Cognitive behavioral therapy. If you can integrate theophostics with cognitive behavioral therapy. Because cognitive behavioral therapy by itself is like theophostics without God. Okay, going back, starting at the beginning. No. There's guys that use this that don't use God. They're just a psychologist. But the Christian counselor takes God and brings back, and it takes God and helps heal the wounds. So it's crazy, but it's fun. I mean, it's fun to see people find deliverance and find. Fun's not the word for it. Fun's not the word for it because there's not a lot of fun in it. But it brings joy to see somebody get relief. Rewarding, yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right, here we go. So here we go. This is what he said. Ever feel that things are out of control? We have more control than we ever imagined. Maybe not the actual situation. That's part of cognitive behavioral therapy and theophostics. We can't control what happened. We can't even control what's happening necessarily, but we can control how we see it and how we respond to it. Instead of listening to every random voice daily, if you want to get in trouble, try to please everybody. Remember when we tell you about the chameleon? The chameleon, you know, the lizard that changes colors? He fell in a box of crayons. He exploded. All right. You can't listen to everybody. You got to be careful who you listen to, and you got to make sure that it's grounded. So, with the way we see things and respond, instead of listening to every voice, random voice, you know, respond accordingly. My grandmom used to say all the time, I'd hear her talk to my granddaddy, and they'd be talking, and she'd go, well, they say. I bet you in their conversation, she'd say, they say 100 times. Well, they say. And my granddaddy would get so mad. And he'd go, who is they? She never could say who they were, but they say, you know. And so I thought about that through all of this. So try listening to what God says and then respond versus react. Responding versus react. If God gives you antibiotic and it's working, he says, how's it doing? You say, it's responding. If you're breaking out into bigger hives, it's reacting. Okay? Today I saw a copperhead. It was dead. So I responded. I picked it up and moved it. If it was alive, I would have reacted. I would have moved out of the way. Amen. Copperhead can kill you. All right. So here we go. No, I would not have. No. Okay. I will not give up. We've talked about all kinds of things, what God says versus how we feel about it. All this is, remember, this is nothing new. This is not something outstanding. What I've done is I've taken some scriptures and I've put them together, compiled them together, and made a confession out of the scriptures without having to remember all these scriptures. You can take this right here. You can put it in your car. If you want another copy, you can get all the copies you want. You can make copies of it. Put it in your car. Put it in your Bible. Some of these things I have up in my sun visor. So when I'm riding down the road, if I'm feeling overwhelmed by the problems that's going on, especially now trying to take care of my mother-in-law who has severe diabetes and Alzheimer's and her heart's at 50%. it's kind of hard because you're trying to help take care of her, and at the same time, she kind of fights us, you know. And so it's been hard, but in the situations like that, or, you know, and our family's having to be split up because of this, and we get together and split, get together and split. It's just so much going on that sometimes I just pull these things down. First in the morning, as I'm on the way to my mother-in-law's house at 7:15, away from my mother-in-law's house, I pull out one of these things and I start my morning confessions. Because if I don't, then my mind and Satan and the world will start filling my head full of junk. Okay? So instead of being filled full of junk, I'm being filled full of his word. So here we go. And I'm going to get y'all to say this with me. Remember, I will not give up. This week is I will not give up. So here we go. Again, this is just a conglomeration of scriptures put together in our just us talking. So we can, you know, I'd hate to think, I can't imagine why Peter was sinking on the water, that he stopped and got on his knees and he said, "Thou art mighty God. Thou art wonderful God. Thou art everlasting God." And come up with all this King James stuff. You know what? When he started sinking, what did he say? Help! That's it. Help! Okay. This is help. All right, here we go. Y'all can repeat after me after I get going here. Even though I may be surrounded by oppressors. Now, when you think about oppressors, like in the Old Testament, you're thinking, we talked about it Sunday, the Samaritans had come, I mean, Samaria was under siege by the Assyrians. All right, and so you see them under siege, and what they would do is they would choke you out, and as they're choking you out, keeping things from coming in and coming out, messages going in and going out, food going in and going out, hope going in and going out. After they got you and they put you in that chokehold, then they would attack. So this is what Satan does. He this oppressor here can just be the situations you're in your life. You find yourself being choked by what's happening. Have you found yourself lately, maybe a situation at your job or a situation in your family or a situation in school, and the situation just seems to be on your mind all the time. You can't shed it off your mind. And so because it starts taking up a lot of room in your mind, guess what it's doing? Especially if it's negative. It is oppressing you. Okay? That's what worry is. Worry is an oppressor. Faith is the opposite. Faith frees. Worry is an oppressor. So here's what you say. When you're being oppressed, either by a bad boss, or you're being oppressed by rough times, or you're being oppressed by something going on in your life, here's what you say. Get this little thing out here, because the first thing that oppressor tries to get you to do is give up. Stop. And that's what they did Sunday. If you'll just stop, here's what he said. The king told the king in Israel, "I'm coming in, I'm taking your children, I'm taking some of your children, some of your gold, some of your property." He said, "Well, come on." And then he said, the next day, he said, "I changed my mind, I'm taking it all." That's how Satan works. He says, "Just give me a little bit." And then he turns around and takes it all. Okay, so here you go. Even though I'm surrounded by oppressors, I am never smothered or crushed by them. I'm never smothered or crushed by them. You'll say that with me. I am never smothered or crushed by them. What does that mean? It's down here in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, "We're hedged in, oppressed in on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed." Although this stuff's coming against me, remember, we're not isolated. We are not isolated from world's problems. We are insulated. There's a difference. Okay? There's a difference between being isolated and insulated. Isolated means it's not going to come to me at all. Insulated means when it comes, I've got something to help me. All right? So now here we go. I may suffer embarrassments. I may become perplexed. Perplexed is now I have no idea. Not only do I have no idea what to do, my mind is getting so shaken I can't even think about it. I mean, I'm so shook up in my mind I can't even think about what's going on. You know, have you ever been so upset or you've been so pushed by stuff around you that you can't even think and it can't even make a whole sentence? Yes, perplexed. Okay, so I may become perplexed. It may seem that there is no way out, but I will still not be driven to despair. And here it is. In 2 Corinthians 4:8 again, we suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but we're not driven to despair. Again, this is just the word of God put in a simpler way. When I am pursued, persecuted, God will never desert me or make me stand alone. Even when, how many, it was so awesome. How many seen that movie, The Shack? Okay, well, I didn't read the book. I saw the movie the other night, and when that guy, Mac, is telling God that you left your son on Calvary, and you got to understand, this is heavy duty, because you got to remember, there is the eternal presence of God, and then there is the known presence of God. Okay? There's times I don't sense him. I don't know him. I know him, but I don't know he's there. Because the sensing presence is not there, the known presence of God. But the eternal presence of God is always there. Always. Always. And so when he said, you left your son when he needed you most, and then Papa put up his arms and he had a scar there, and he said, I never left him. But on that cross, God turned his back, his known presence, because he was bearing the sins of the world. He turned his back. But the eternity of God was still there. Okay? That's heavy duty. That's heavy. Okay? Because if he weren't there, he could not have seen what was going on and could not have taken care of, and Jesus' blood could not have taken the punishment. All right. So here we go. Y'all say this with me. I may suffer embarrassments, become perplexed. It may seem that there is no way out, but I still will not be driven to despair. Y'all say it with me. When I am pursued, persecuted, God will never desert me or make me stand alone. All right? Even though I may be struck down to the ground, I will never be struck out or destroyed. Again, here it is. This is so awesome right here. We are pursued, persecuted, hard-driven, but we're not deserted or standing alone. We are, and this is the Amplified version, so it's got the Greek in it. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out or destroyed. And again, this is also a wrestling term, meaning that you have been body slammed. Literally, it means you've been body slammed, but although you've been body slammed and you're laying on your back, you're not going to be counted out. The referee's not going to go, one, two, three, and you're out. You're going to get back up. You're always going to get back up. God's there to help you get back up. So, no matter what difficulties may come my way, I will never, never, never quit. I talked to a guy the other day. He's getting pretty old now, and he doesn't remember quite like he used to, and he doesn't get around like he used to, but he was the guy at Fountain. Every fountain, y'all seen fountain boats, how big they are and how awesome they are and how smooth they ride. I mean, they were awesome. I've been 109 miles an hour, and I could have drank a cup of coffee at 109 miles an hour. I could have drank a cup of coffee. The wind would not have blown out the cup, and it would not have shaken out the cup. And while I'm going 109, a guy passed us doing 150. Okay, but the 150, now the one at 150 had a canopy, and he had oxygen. He was getting it. I thought 109 was getting it. I mean, we were leaving everything behind us, but he just went, you know. Well, the guy, every fountain boat started with a wooden model. And if you didn't make the wooden model just right, the imperfection in the wooden model would be in every boat made after that. The man who did that was from England. He built world-class boats from wood, and has won all kinds of championships all over. His name is Kenny Adams. He won all kinds of championships all over the world with his boats. Well, he was in England during World War II. He said he went to school one morning. He said his daddy worked at a steel mill in the daytime. And at night he'd come home and put on his uniform and he'd work all night. Because they were bombing England. And he said one day him and his brother got on the bus to go to school. And when they got on the bus, they took them off the bus and put them on another bus and then a boat and took them hours away. And they did not see their mom and daddy again until after the war was over. They had no idea what was going to happen. But they had to preserve their seed. And so they took the seed of England and pushed it somewhere else safe, hid them. So nobody even knew where they were at. But Winston Churchill was an awesome man. He had his fireside chats, and he would talk, and he'd say, we're not going to quit, we're not going to quit, we're never going to quit. They were being bombed, they were being destroyed. He said, we're not going to quit, we're not going to quit. And then after he would tell everybody and get everybody built up, for days he'd go hide somewhere and be depressed after he tried to build everybody else up. Well, years later, when he was an old man and he was no longer prime minister, he was called to his old school, alma mater, to do the commencement address. And they were expecting this aged, experienced statesman to stand up and say something eloquent about strategies and stuff. He walked to the podium and he said, never quit. Never, ever, under any circumstance, quit. And he turned around, and he went and sat back down in the seat. It's powerful. Very powerful. So, again, y'all say this to me. No matter what difficulties may come my way, I will never, never, never quit. You know, I just told somebody the other day that they actually just started floundering around, and this person here ought to be, he's strong, he's powerful, he's a Marine, he had his act together, and then all of a sudden he just started floundering around, and I was talking to him, and he said, well, what's the problem? And I said, well, guess what? You're a Marine. Remember on D-Day at Omaha Beach? They dropped the Rangers, and they come in on Omaha Beach. The paratroopers dropped on this side. And they fought together and eliminated the enemy till they met. Now, on D-Day, all the nations of the world got together and thousands upon thousands of people died on Omaha Beach. But can you imagine what would have happened on Omaha Beach that morning if half of the people that stormed that beach called in sick or said, I just don't feel like doing it? God will understand. Can you imagine who would be in charge now? It would not be the Americans. No. So, what we do matters a lot. Never, ever, ever quit. I will not faint in time of adversity because God is with me, empowering me. He's standing right there. D.C., when he was, D.C. was about 10, and we were letting the young people do devotions. So I said, D.C., Wednesday night you're doing devotion. He said, okay, Dad. Bless his heart. He went over to the house. He took a bath, which is amazing. And after he took a bath, he slicked his hair all back. After he slicked his hair back, bless his heart, he put on a suit. He was just giving a devotion. And he got up and he was doing David and Goliath. I remember it like it was today or yesterday. And he looked up to him and he said, Daddy, he said on the way up, he said, Daddy, I'm not sure I can do this. And I said, here's all I want you to remember. He said, what, Dad? I said, I'm right behind you. And I said, whenever you feel like you want to quit, just reach behind you and you'll feel my hand. I'll tug on you, let you know I'm there. And if you get in a real big bind, I'll take over for you. He said, okay, Dad, I think I can handle it. But he got up and he started talking and he reached behind him and I tapped his hand. He got a little braver. Then he got again, he reached behind him, I tapped his hand, and then I was there, he got even braver. And next thing I know, I thought the boy was gonna preach. But the point of the matter was, about a week later, I was having to do something that was bringing fear to me. And it was heavy duty. And I was getting ready to go into the valley of the shadow of death. And I was getting ready to go in. I said, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. He said, remember the other night? He said, just do yourself a favor. When you feel like you can't take it, take your hand and put it behind you. And I'll be tapping your hand. I'm with you. You got nothing to worry about. I'm telling you, that was awesome. That was so awesome. So I teach my son a lesson, and then God takes that same lesson and teaches it to me. That was so, so awesome. So know that even no matter how bad things are, God is empowering you. Not only that, remember this too. Look, there's things that you can only learn by growing through the fire. You're not just going through the fire, growing through the fire. And remember, it's not happening to you. Please remember this. Things are not happening to you. They are happening for you. Okay? When my mother died, when my wife died, both of them, there was the hurt I never felt in my entire life. But at the same time, that hurt that I'd never experienced in my entire life brought me up to a different degree of comfort, because that degree of hurt I had, the degree of comfort was greater, and I would have never felt that degree of comfort if I hadn't gone through that degree of pain. Just remember that. God has a way of always making things better. So here we go. Number three, and we're getting ready to close. I'm not spending a whole long time tonight. Isn't this some cool stuff, though? This is cool. I am persistent and undaunted in my faith. DC asked me that. I was talking about something. I was talking about something at PCDC. I just called off some word I've been using in school, and DC said, "Huh?" And I said, "Son?" He said, "When did you start talking big words?" I said, "DC, son, we're adults. We use big words. We use multiple syllables now. It's okay." That's what he said. Okay. So, undaunted, okay? I'm not backing down. I'm not going to faint. I'm going to keep going forward. Here, God, I'm going to give you some more scriptures for this. I shall never quit. I will never yield. I will never bow my knee to any enemy. Wow. That sounds like something hard to do, but you know what? If you won't bow your knee, God will back you up. If you won't bow your knee, God will back you up. But if you do bow your knee, don't be a bit surprised if you can't find him. Okay? Now, I am steadfast and unmovable, and 1 Corinthians 15 tells us in verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted. It always has a purpose." With all this going for us, my dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves to the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. You know, we put a lot of time and effort in the praise team practice. But you know what? With all these instruments, and especially all these new songs, you have to. You know, and I started DC and Daniel. I mean, I used to play with them boys all the time, taught them how to play the bass and the guitar and the drums, and start them on the piano, and we go over to the church just about every night and play. And be in the bedroom at night playing. Their mama say, "Y'all need to cut this down. This is not a honky tonk. Stop it." Beth and I are trying to sleep. Stop it. We played and we played and we played. And then they grew up. And then their mama died. They quit going to church. And so I hadn't played music with them in years. Matter of fact, 13 years. It had been 13 years since me and DC and Daniel had played together for more than just some kind of special. And Daniel, after Daniel came back from Afghanistan, Daniel said, "I want to come help you, Dad." And so Daniel had to start teaching me the new stuff, because he taught me stuff on the bass I didn't even know how to play. I had no idea how to do this the way he told me how to play it. And then DC come along and said, I want to be with you too. And so I started learning different things. And now every Sunday, I learn something new. There's only four strings. How can you keep learning something new? It's because of different ways you do things. And Eddie will tell you, stop. He'll look over at me. Daniel will throw a drumstick at me. Or a horseshoe. And they'll go, Yeah, or pick, and they'll go, Dad, it's not that hard. And all I can think about is when I was in my 30s and they were 12, and I'm going, it's not that hard, fellas. You can get this. And now I'm 57, and they're in their 30s, and they're telling me, Dad, it's not that hard. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Praise God. All right. I'm steadfast, unmovable. I am valiant, fearless, determined, and resolute in my faith. You know, when we go to prison, if we start acting like we're scared, when those guys will get in your face. Of course, Stephen done said, he told them, said, y'all want to be whooped by a 7-year-old man? Come on over here. Set that right up. I was standing there one night, and the guy actually jumped up on the table. I was at the table, and guys were gathered around, and the guy jumped right up on the table and got right in my face. No, he wasn't a little short fella. He got it right in my face. I was standing up. I was standing up on the table. They were sitting around the table. He got in my face. And right to start with, it did kind of startle me. And I wasn't expecting that to happen. So I just looked him right dead in the face and said, have we got a problem? He said, excuse me. I said, I think you need to sit down. Another guy said, yeah, you need to sit down. And so they sat down. And then one night they actually dropped a piece. I don't know where they got the piece of metal from, but they dropped it from the upstairs down behind me. And I actually thought I'd been shot. And I turned around and hollered, we got you, we got you. And I said, I'm still here, buddy. You want some of this? Come get it. You know, and I'm thinking, dude, you're absolutely stupid. To me. But you got to be fearless, because they'll sense it. And then they'll eat you. They'll clean your clock. All right? So, again. Okay. That's right. I take my sword with me. All right, I'm valiant, fearless, determined, resolute in my faith. Proverbs 21:8 says, or 28:1 says, that the wicked flee and nobody's chasing them. But the righteous are bold as a lion. It's not written in your notes, but it's there. You want to take that down. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee and nobody's chasing them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. These are some good things to keep in your mind, to keep going. When you get up in the morning, if you can, especially if you're feeling like it's one of those days where you hate to see what you're going up against. You hate to see what you're having to have. You know, I think I told this. I'm not for sure, but I think I did. I was at Fountain. And I told somebody else. When I was at Fountain Powerboats and I got promoted. There was the engineering department I was in had two departments. And I was in the corrective action department, and they were in the, where they just kept up with what was going on and kind of went through, helped them keep up with how to fix things. So I'm in corrective action. I'm taking corrective action and fixing corrective action, and they're over here monitoring. And so I was told to learn everything over there, and I said, I really don't want to. I'm busy over here. And my boss said, no, I need you to learn that. So I learned that. And the next thing I know, I was made manager, not supervisor, manager over the whole department. And so this supervisor got very upset because they thought they deserved the job, and I didn't even ask for it. And I was really I honestly felt kind of sick at my stomach because I didn't ask for the promotion. I got it. And then I had to deal with this, who hated me after that. We got along good. You wouldn't believe how good we got along. But after that person absolutely hated me. If I'd have been on fire and they'd come by and they had whatever, they would not put anything on me. They wouldn't even put gasoline on me to put me out. They hated me that bad. I didn't ask for the job. I was given the job. And so we had this major ISO 9000 worldwide audit come. And in the middle of the audit, We have a database, and when the man comes in, the auditor comes in, and we're talking about this cost the company $50,000 a year if everything went right. So the man comes in, and the day before we're having the audit, I found out that this person had got in the database and contaminated almost half of the database. I couldn't fix it in one day because it took years to fix it, to even get there. And so here's what I did. The people and other engineers said, what we're going to do. And I even talked to the vice president. He said, dude, do what you got to do. And so I told the people and the other engineers, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God. Because we can't even tell the man where to go. The man goes where he wants to go in this database. I said, God, you see what's going on here. We didn't do this. This is a major audit. This could cost the company a lot of money. It could cost us our jobs. I said, Lord, we need you to do something. Stand strong and take control. And so the next day, when the engineers walked them through, and when they got to the database, as God is my witness, they were in that database for 4 hours. You know, they never one time went to any of the contaminated parts of the database. We fixed it afterwards. What I'm saying is, though, he went on his own. And over half the database was corrupted. And he never went to any part of that database that was corrupted and said, man, y'all have done such an awesome job with this. This is that. I've picked it apart and can't find it. And I'm thinking, dude, if you just, yeah. I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And God took care of business. Okay? Be fearless, valiant, determined, resolute. We think of that stuff. All we can think about is when I'm standing against the devil. Man, we got things in our home, in our own life. We just need to trust God for on our jobs. Trust him. No informed against going to prosper. That person tried to destroy the whole department, and it did not work. I will not lose heart. I will not weaken. I will not cave in, for victory is mine. I'll give you a couple of verses here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2 just for a moment. 2 Corinthians 2, I love this. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14, and up it says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. We are the sweet fragrance of Christ which exhales into God, discernible alike amongst those who are being saved, amongst those who are perishing. To the latter, it is an aroma wafted from death to death, a fatal odor, the smell of doom. To the former is aroma to life, a vital fragrance, living and fresh. And who is qualified, fit, and sufficient for these things? Who is able for such a ministry? It's because of what Christ has done in us. Amen. Any questions, comments? Take this with you. When you find yourself, you got some good stuff. This is number 7. So you've got 6 more below, 6 below this. And they all address things that we go through in our life. Take this. When you find yourself in a weak moment and you're needing to stand, read this stuff. Read it and make that declaration. Make it. Make it. And watch God back you. Amen. Y'all are quiet tonight. It was a woman. It was all kept kind of hush hush. No. No. They actually said that we couldn't prove 100% that she'd done it. And we know, and she told somebody she'd done it. But and we were the only ones that could access the database. Me, her, and the vice president and another engineer were the only ones that could access the database. And so that person didn't do it. The vice president didn't do it. She told somebody she'd done it. I mean, she was furious. And you know what was even worse? Was they called me into office at 8 o'clock in the morning and said, David, the CEO said, David, we're promoting you to management today. Starting today, you will be a manager. You'll be managing the industrial engineering department. And I said, what about this person? He says, we thought about that, and this person has got a bad record, all kinds of things. We don't want this person. We want you. And I said, well, okay, well, who's going to tell this person? And the vice president said, or the COO said, I'll tell her. I said, okay, please do. And at 5 o'clock, he hadn't told her. And so I called him up and said, are you planning on telling her today? He said, you know what? I got to go out of town. He said, we'll get the vice president to tell her. So I called the vice president and said, you're going to tell her? And he said, David, I'm not even around. He said, you tell her. I know, so I took her out, outside. Well, I don't know, and I'm not going anywhere with it. I'm not mentioning names, I'm not saying anything, because that person's no longer there. I'm no longer there. The COO and the vice president would not tell her. I had to tell her. She was up to this point. Up to this point, she was dismissed from our department. But she was put on special assignment. So like I said, I don't know why. I'm not going there. I'm just telling you she's put on special assignment. And she still had access, and she told somebody she did it. I didn't do it. My second in command didn't do it. The vice president didn't do it. So there was only one person that could do it. And she told somebody she done it. So that's okay. God took care of it. It was taken care of. And I thank God for it. All right. I was trying to talk about not quitting, not about somebody corrupting the database. All right. I was trying to make a point. That great old big database with all those boats. And each boat, our department, because we documented everything, our department overloaded the server every week. Every week the IT guy would take our stuff and put it on CDs. And bring it to us because we overloaded with all the work we did. I personally, I would take about 300 pictures a day of stuff I was doing because I documented everything I did, everything. And if you got 3 or 4 people taking at least 300 pictures a day, think about that. And not only did you have to take the picture, then you had to format it into ISO, and then you had to format it into the database, and so each picture was probably used 4 or 5 times. And this was high definition pictures. This was major, major pictures. And so it was something. It was something. But that's water under the bridge. That's right. Speaking of that, I saw a 42 went 215 miles an hour from Washington Bridge to Richards Beach, and that little train trestle that's in the way between there. They opened up the train trestle, and there was only a few feet on each side, and it took 3 men to pilot the cat. It was a cat. It took 3 men to pilot it, and they had a 40-foot rooster tail in the air, and they went through the bridge at 190 miles an hour. Look, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I went through it at 109, and it put starch in my drawers at 109. I can't imagine 190 going. I tell you what, if you ever go down there, there's ducks in the water. Ducks going. That's all you hear. You don't even get the whole quack. You don't even hear the whole quack. It's just, Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and mercy. I thank you all you do for us, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Minister to us mightily, Lord. Help us, Lord, to know not to quit, that you've got our back no matter what. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, and look, oh, that ISO audit was the best audit we had ever had. The audit before was rough because that was the time my wife had just died. And the first auditor was the auditor of NASA. When the O-ring had blown up, the shuttle had blown up, he audited the new O-ring and the new system. And the other woman wrote the book. And we had a bad audit, but of course, I was just going through the death of my wife. And so they come back a couple months later with this guy, some new guy down. And it was the best we'd ever had, even with that girl corrupt and everything. So we did good.